Today, we are continuing our sermon series on justice by studying the book of Amos. Amos was called by God to deliver prophetic messages to the people in the northern kingdom, Israel. He told them that they were not worshiping God appropriately, and their lives did not reflect their belief in God. Israel was unjust and oppressed poor people. We worship a pure and holy God who is just and commands us to live righteous lives. The book of Amos is frequently quoted by Jewish people and Christians seeking justice. Dear friends, we demonstrate our compassion through many efforts, from donations to local mothers needing assistance, the food pantry, visiting the VA, and quilts for displaced people and refugees. We are commanded to show mercy, and we are also commanded to show justice. So as we study passages on justice this month, let us consider how we are seeking justice. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the blessings of this life. Thank you for your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to study this passage so that we may gain a deeper understanding of your word and to cry out for justice with those who are oppressed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So before we begin studying this particular passage, let us look at the history, where the social context in which Amos was delivering these very strong words, words that, you know, it's sometimes difficult to say, yeah, thanks be to God for that. But we do. All of the Bible, we say, thanks be to God. So initially, the kingdom of Israel was united from the period of 1050 BCE to 930 BCE. And then the kingdom was divided when Rehoboam, Solomon's son, imposed heavy taxes and forced labor on the Israelites. To establish a separate nation, Jeroboam I created worship practices distinct from those of Judah. He created separate worship centers in Bethel and Dan to rival the temple in Jerusalem. These centers included golden calves rather than the Ark of the Covenant. The golden calf, remember, was the false worship of the Israelites in the wilderness during Exodus. And God did not appreciate that. And there was a lot of efforts in the wilderness to, A, remove the golden calf and realign the people's worship. Additionally, non-Levites served as priests in Israel, contrary to the Torah. And the religious calendar was revised for Israel. And as you recall, the religious calendar is set in Scripture. It's set in the Bible of when the festivals to remember God were to be. The economic prosperity of Israel resulted from the oppression of the poor, compelling people into debt slavery and withholding their garments taken in a pledge. There was injustice occurring through bribing judges, denying justice to poor people, and unfair business practices. And all of these actions violated the Torah. So Amos lived in Judah, the southern kingdom, and he was called to go to the northern kingdom to speak out against false worship and injustice. So with that background, let us now look at this passage. It begins with verse 7. You twist justice, making it a bitter pill for the oppressed. You treat the righteous like dirt. And this is one of Amos' accusations against the ruling elite of Israel. Their injustice harmed the oppressed. Justice and righteousness are covenant responsibility of God's people. We are the people of God. He then writes this hymn. It is the Lord who created the stars, the Pleiades and Orion. He turns darkness into morning and day into night. He draws up water from the oceans and pours it down as rain on the land. The Lord is his name. With blinding speed and power, he destroys the strong, crushing all their defenses. So Amos is reminding the ruling elite that God is all-powerful. He will later build on this hymn of praise to God to pronounce the destruction of the kingdom of Israel by God for their failures to live just lives. He continues with his accusations. How you hate honest judges, how you despise people who tell the truth. You trample the poor, stealing their grain through taxes and unfair rent. Therefore, though you build beautiful stone houses, you will never live in them. Though you plant lush vineyards, you will never drink wine from them. Amos is addressing the wealthy people who've driven the peasants from their land to become serfs, and then requiring them to pay a large portion of the grain as rent for their former land. Remember that when the people moved into the promised land, and this northern kingdom is part of that, the land was divided amongst the different clans. And so now what you're seeing is people being pushed off of their land, the land that was promised to them by God. So consequently, the wealthy people will not reside in their homes they've built using the profits extracted from the poor, or drink the wine from the vineyards planted on the fields that previously belonged to the poor. When he mentions about the stone houses, the hewn stones were used to build the houses for the wealthy, but those stones were typically reserved for palaces and temples for God. He goes on to say, "For I know the vast number of your sins and the depth of your rebellions. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. So those who are smart, keep their mouths shut, for it is an evil time." When Amos says, "I know the vast number of your sins and the depths of your rebellions," he is now speaking on behalf of God. Prophets were the agents of God. We are also agents of God, beloved. We are called to speak God's will. We are called to speak the truth. We can only do this, though, if we remain in the Word and pray. Then we have a relationship with God, which enables us to serve as God's agent, to know what God's truth is so that we can proclaim it. Amos knew that justice is part of God's character through his knowledge of Torah. He continues, "Do what is good and run from evil so that you may live. Then the Lord God of heaven's army will be your helper, just as you have claimed. Hate evil and love what is good. Turn your courts into true halls of justice. Perhaps even yet, the Lord, God of heaven's armies, will have mercy on the remnant of his people." Amos is offering the people of Israel hope. Hope that they may receive mercy if they do what is good and run from evil. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago when we studied Jonah didn't bother announcing any hope at all, but the people where he went and pronounced God's message discerned that there could be hope if they turned away from their wickedness. And they did. But unfortunately, Israel does not do that. Spoiler alert. They are instructed to turn their courts into true halls of justice. He goes on, "Therefore, this is what the Lord God of heaven's army says. There will be crying in all the public squares and mourning in every street. Call for the farmers to weep with you and summon professional mourners to wail. There will be wailing in every vineyard, for I will destroy them all, says the Lord." He goes on to talk about the sorrow when it's the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is judgment day. And it's possible that people are believing, well, hey, if we're rich, then we must be good and God is blessing us. And Amos is saying, no, you've stolen your wealth. You've taken it from the poor. Your judgment day will be darkness. Now, the prophets were not people pleasers. And yet, you know, all of them have messages that are hard. Some of them wrestled with God on, do I really have to say that? Are you sure? Could you give a little mercy? I mean, Isaiah, when he got his call, he wrestled with it. But they're not people pleasers. And we look at Jesus and Paul. They weren't people pleasers either. I mean, Jesus would speak to the marginalized love, but he would call out the Pharisees and the scribes who were not engaging in true worship and who were blocking the people from truly worshiping God and having access to God. And I think that's an important lesson for us, that they instead sought to please God, and may we seek to please God first and foremost with our lives and how we live. Amos continues, speaking for God, "I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps." So God is rejecting their worship because of their hypocrisy. Their worship of God was convenient for them, according to their preferences, rather than seeking God. I mean, again, they move the place of where they're going to worship. They change the calendar. And, oh, yeah, since they don't have the Ark of the Covenant, they have a golden calf. So God's saying, not going to listen to your worship. They are not worshiping in spirit and truth, as Jesus says later on in the Gospel of John. The people fail to live according to the Torah, which requires care for the widow, the orphan, the poor, and justice. Worship is not only our rituals, but also our way of life. Our way of life should conform to God's commandments. We close our worship services every Sunday with the saying, "Go, be the church." Our lives, we long for our lives to then reflect our belief in God as part of our daily worship between Sundays. And that's right. That is very good. And we are called to demonstrate our worship of God through how we treat poor people, how we champion the cause of poor people throughout the world and seeking justice. But of course, first and foremost, our command is to love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, with all our strength, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that's important, that we focus first and foremost on God. And from loving God and receiving God's love and our actions flow from that. The passage concludes with verse 24. "Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living." Rather than false worship, God wants us to engage in righteous living, to seek justice. One purpose of worship is, again, to come to know God so well that we know who God is, and what God does becomes concrete realities in our lives. We are blessed to be a blessing, not for our sake, but for God's perfect plans. We are blessed to speak out for those who cannot speak for themselves. Christians have supported justice issues for many years. We've supported anti-slavery movements in the U.S. and England, and we supported the civil rights movement. On August 28th, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous speech, "I Have a Dream." And in that speech, he quoted this verse, Amos chapter 5, verse 24, when he said, "No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." King called for the civil rights movement to continue to press for justice for all. Now, one way of speaking out is to support those organizations that engage in advocacy for oppressed people. And it is important, dear friends, that we research these organizations carefully and to make sure that they're in alignment with our understanding of Scripture and of what God wants us to do. In 2 weeks, we'll observe Freedom Sunday, which is organized by the International Justice Mission. It's a nonprofit organization that seeks to rescue people from slavery and human trafficking and to change the conditions that allow these injustices to occur. So International Justice Mission, known as IJM, has been reaching out to churches throughout the world to have this Freedom Sunday. Let our actions demonstrate justice. And an example of that is our daughter, Alyssa. When she was in college, she had a part-time job, and she bought her own clothes. And Alyssa is one of those people at the time who had a lot of clothes. I mean, a lot of clothes. And she wanted to save money. So she went to stores that had good prices on the clothes. But then as we looked at that, we discovered the stores where she bought her clothes had sweatshop suppliers. And she decided to stop buying from them. She chose to spend her money according to her conscience, which meant buying less items. She chose not to benefit from someone else's suffering. We should pray for wisdom and the leading of the Spirit to guide us as we seek justice. Now, it's important that we don't become overwhelmed by the magnitude of injustice and oppression in the world. I mean, there are times when I'm listening to the news and I just find it almost overwhelming. And during those times, I stop and I pray. We do this by praying and trusting in God to save the world and right all of the wrongs. That's what God does. It's not up to us. God doesn't want us to be burnt out and just wallowing in sorrow and depression over this. God wants us to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to participate in God's justice, doing our parts, but not taking it all on, not feeling overwhelmed. And so that is the invitation that God is offering to us, is to discern perhaps what we are meant to do as individuals or as a church to support justice. Amen.